Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. This is Bonnie Kay, and welcome to the Straight Wives Talk Show. This is a hard-hitting show that discusses the complexity of marriages between straight women to gay men. Each week, my guests and I discuss different issues that affect over 4 million women in this country and millions more around the world who find themselves unknowingly married to a gay or bisexual man. So if you have any comments and you would like to call in during this broadcast, you're welcome to do that at area code 646-716-4893. Or if you are radio shy, you can email me at bonkay@aol.com. That's bonkaye@aol.com. There's just a few announcements I'd like to make before I introduce my spectacular co-hostess, Suzette Hinton. The first one is that our Healing Weekend in California is gelling up, and it's going to be a wonderful weekend in California right by the LA airport. There's a shuttle bus to the hotel that's a free shuttle bus. We have a group rate, so it's really inexpensive. The only cost for the Healing Weekend is dinner for one night, and that will help defray the cost of the meeting rooms. But short of that, you know, we welcome anybody from anywhere in that area. We have women coming in from all over the world for this event. So we're really excited. We haven't been in L.A. for a number of years. This is the first time back there. And we have some wonderful California girls that I'll be so excited to see again. But it is in L.A., and if you are interested, please contact me at bonkay@aol.com, and I'll be happy to send you information. You know, there's nothing like a healing weekend when you feel like you're lost in the maze of confusion here, and so many of our women are, and then hearing other women's stories and bonding with them You feel that you're not alone anymore. You make new friendships with people who can understand exactly how you're feeling. Everyone who walks away from these healing weekends always walks away feeling that they are supported. You know, we don't judge people. We support people. And we don't tell you what you should do. You know what to do. You're there because you're looking for support. So if you're in that situation, no matter where you are on your journey to recovery, please let me know. I'll be happy to have you. Just write to me and we'll get you set up. So that's number one. And number two is the fact that I would like to just make mention that I had Dr. Karen Huffer on my show, and I was just so wowed by her. Wowed and impressed that Dr. Huffer has a seminar coming up. You know, it's accredited through King's College, and it's an online seminar for 6 weeks, and it's about becoming an advocate for people with disabilities. And what I think is just so incredible is that now post-traumatic stress, which is becoming such a hot topic here, is now considered a disability. And you can have an advocate now when you go to court, and you can become an advocate if you're a human service helper. You know, you can make some good money in advocacy. And this is a nice little course for 6 weeks on Thursday afternoons, and it's, you get a certificate, you get a badge for the courtroom, and Dr. Huffer is well known throughout the world, not just in this country. She does seminars all over and has several books out on this. So if you get in on this, it's only 6 Thursday afternoons starting in September online. You can get certified as an advocate and go into courtrooms and hire yourself out. So it's a good little part-time gig. If you are interested, you can write to me at bonk@aol.com, and I'll send you all of Dr. Huffer's, you know, information so you can get enrolled. If you sign up by August, you get $100 off the course. So there is an early bird special, and it's really affordable, and it can really make a difference for many of our women. And we don't have to have any special qualifications. You don't have to have a college degree to do advocacy. You know, so that's why I say it's a great opportunity. And next week, I just wanted to pre-announce that we're having a guest, Marianne Glynn. Marianne has been here before, and I wrote to people in our newsletter, which is now out. It just came out a couple days ago, that she has a new app called Mind Warrior. And it's so inexpensive. It's like $2.99. But it helps people keep on track who are suffering from post-traumatic stress from their marriages. It has a lot of exercises to do so that you don't fall behind. And she'll be talking about it next week. You know, I am just too old to know about apps. I'm lucky I know that I have a stupid phone. I don't have a smart one. You're laughing, Suzette, but it's true. I don't know what an app is. Kind of a scary word. It's from after my time, but I know other people know what it is. It's something, I think, with an iPhone, maybe. I don't even know what an iPhone is. I just hear people say it. But also, I think it's on another system, too, like a Google thing. So, Marianne will be here next week to talk to us about it and what it does and how to access it. And I think it's a steal of a deal for $2.99. Do you have a phone that you get apps with, Suzette?
Well, I know with this new phone I have, there was an app for Facebook and an app for Google. I think app is just a short term for application. And you know,
well, that's
like
really
we have
nice.
Computers to upload applications.
See, like I figured that part out. App is short for application. I don't have any idea what application is long for. I really don't. But I don't have a phone like that, so it doesn't really matter. But it was so funny when Marianne told me it's $2.99. I said, oh, $299. She said, no, $2.99. I said, $2.99, that's what you're charging? I said, that's ridiculous. I would never charge something that small for something so valuable. But that's what it costs. So I don't know, maybe apps aren't expensive.
They don't seem too expensive.
I don't even know what they are, but anyway, maybe you should buy one of these for $2.99. I think if something's just $2.99, you should buy it even if you never use it, just to have it, right? It's always like when you go to the dollar store and you say, oh, my God, I'll take this, I'll take that. And I have no intention of ever using, but for a dollar, it looks good, you know. So for $2.99 for an app where for post-traumatic stress, how can you go wrong, right?
Well, now that is that definitely is a worthwhile app, you know, in all seriousness, it really is.
I know, and people told me that, you know, a few people who bought it said it's wonderful. And once again, she'll tell us next week how to use it. I don't know how that works, but hopefully she invented it, so I guess she knows how it works. But I've heard wonderful things about it. And a lot of women who can't afford therapy, and I know they can't, you know, sometimes you're just so strapped living from penny to penny when you're on your own with children. So this is certainly an affordable way to get some kind of therapeutic message out to follow without having to invest really much money in it at all.
That's true.
So Suzette, how are you doing tonight?
I am doing just splendid.
Oh, I'd love to hear that because you're my monthly upbeat chance to feel better about everything in life when you get on here.
Oh, I'm glad.
I do wish you could sing a little more, but okay. I'll take what I can get of your time. And Suzette's in a very loving, wonderful relationship with a wonderful man named Robert, right?
Yes, my dear, sweet Robert. Yes.
Isn't that wonderful?
Bonnie. I was telling somebody today that who would have known that the closer it gets to our getting married, the more I grow to love him.
Isn't that a wonderful feeling?
It really is. Oh, my. He's a dear man.
Now, I hate to bring up a painful subject, because I know Robert is a wonderful man. Did you feel the same way about the first husband you had?
Well, actually, because I was so caught up in the wedding planning, that overrode my caution.
You were young then, right?
Yeah, and it's like we were both excited about it, but I remember very distinctly the day of the wedding. I was in my hotel room, and I was running late because one of my bridesmaids had just arrived from New York. And now we were waiting for her husband to get off the phone so we could all go to the church because they didn't know how to get there. So I wasn't going to leave them. And it just so happened my then husband, who was my fiancé at the time, came strolling through with his best man. And I still don't know why he was at the hotel, but anyway, he came strolling through and he said, "You haven't left yet?" And I said, "Well, no, because, you know, she's just gotten here and we're waiting for her husband to get off the phone." And rather than him be supportive, he was like, "Well, you don't need to be worried about that. You need to get over there to the church. You need to go to the church now. You know, that's what you need to do." And I never forget, I felt like somebody had really kicked me. And I'm thinking, it didn't feel right, it didn't seem right, but, you know, I was all in, you know, so I went on to the church, and I never forget, I went on with it, and it ended up being a very beautiful wedding. But you know how you have those little telltale signs that make you feel like you've been slightly kicked in the gut or done or whatever, and you ignore it because it seems that there's a prevailing thought that's something that has your attention more. But then you go back and you think about all these little subtle kickbacks, those involuntary kickbacks from inside. That you ignored.
And isn't that something that you always talk about in your book, you know, about your instincts?
And how
we ignore them when, you know, when they're calling us, but still we're just ignoring them?
Yeah, I think we get flooded with whatever is prevailing at the time. I think we really get flooded with that. that, yeah, we sense it, we feel it when it happens, but we don't pay attention to it because whatever else is going on in our minds has us kind of flooded or kind of fogged.
Can I bring up one other point and get your opinion on this, Suzette? I know it's a painful thing to say for a lot of women, but I can't begin to tell you how many women I've met through the years that told me that at the last minute, you know, not the last second, but, you know, in the last few days before they got married or a few weeks, that they just knew it was a mistake, but they just felt too vested in by family and friends and plans and showers and gifts that they went ahead with it anyway. Have you heard stories like that?
Yeah, because even the one that I shared, I thought to myself, well, you know, couples disagree. This is just nerves. We'll be all right. That's what I told myself. Oh, this is just nerves. We'll be all right. But the wiser self part of me, when he said it, was like, ouch, that hurt. Gosh, that doesn't feel good. He's not being supportive. But, you know, of course, you dismiss it. You dismiss it and say, oh, you know, all couples go through that stuff. We'll be all right.
Dismissed it, but I know women who literally said, I knew it was a mistake. I didn't want to do it, but I'd gone too far. You know, it's almost like you feel like you're in the water and you're sinking and you don't know how to swim back up. And I always tell women, nothing matters more than you. Invitations can always be returned. Gifts can be returned. You know, people can be disappointed, but they're not living your life. You know, and I think if you can't even assert yourself enough not to get married, that's why so many women get stuck in these marriages for far too long. They really do believe that if they leave, what will people say? You know, people will be upset with them. People will be angry with them. You know, people will talk bad about them. So they feel forced to stay in a situation because they don't have the courage to stand up and say, I come first. And I think this is very typical with women. Do you find that?
I think that's true. And I also think if they were anything like me, you think to yourself, this is just a feeling that I have, and I haven't been taught to regard it by the people who have reared me, the church people I've been around, my community. I've been told that my feelings are not reliable. You know, I've either been directly told that, or I've been modeled that, or because what I felt was dismissed by significant people in my life, I was taught not to regard. And so if I didn't have somebody ask me, if I went up to the altar and said, I can't marry you, then I would be flooded with, why can't you? And if I said, it doesn't feel right, they would have had no regard for it. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, so you wouldn't have had any support with that decision. They would have said, don't be ridiculous. You're just nervous.
Exactly.
You know, everybody has second thoughts, and, you know, he's a wonderful guy, and why don't you just grow up, stop acting like you're childish,
yeah,
right?
He's in the church. You know, obviously he loves you or he wouldn't have asked you to marry him, you know,
right.
Stop being silly. Or even in my church, in my group of my environment, if I had said, but he's cold. You know, when I touch him, he doesn't respond back. He doesn't kiss me. He doesn't touch me. They'd be like, well, why should he be? Y'all aren't married. You know what I'm saying? Like, they were so fornication-minded that they wouldn't have said, you mean to tell me he draws back when you touch him? You mean to tell me he hasn't even tried to kiss you, or when he does kiss you, it doesn't feel normal? I mean, there was nobody, because I can't, everybody in my circle were in that kind of churchy type mentality. I didn't have a broader scope of friendships of people who were more experienced in life, more experienced in men that could say, girl, that's a sign, honey. Don't you marry that. you know, there was nobody there.
But also, don't you think that a lot of times with...
That I understood it, you know?
But don't you think a lot of times with people from church, like you're kind of a church, well, like any kind of a church, they're not necessarily all that happy themselves for whatever reasons, but they feel, well, I got married, now I have to just live with it. So they're not really that concerned about your happiness either.
And
you know, they feel,
too,
well, I've had to overlook all these things. Why should she have to have special privileges?
That's true. And then, too, even the ones that would have warned me about him, he had already, because he had already told me that his past, that was a part of his past, when they came to me and said, well, you know this happened in his past, and I bet you he hadn't even told me. I was able to say, yes, he did tell me. And it made me feel like he was trustworthy because he told me.
Uh-huh.
So anybody that came and said something about him, he had already crossed his T's and dotted his I's to make me think they were just against him and were holding his past over his head, and they would not believe that the Lord had delivered him. Even though they preached it, they didn't believe it. You know, he had already covered that base.
Yeah,
so,
and you know what? We were naive and we were stupid. I mean, I hate to put it so bluntly, but we were. I mean, we were uneducated when it came to this. And you really do believe God can heal anything, you know, when you're younger and don't have that kind of experience. And if somebody tells you that God entered their life and changed them, why would you want to have to say you're lying? You know, you want to believe it. And then the worst part is, like, some gay men can perform sex with women. So it's not like, you know, maybe they're not great or this or that, but they are able to have children. So then people don't believe you anyway because they're saying, what do you mean he's gay? Don't you have fun with him? He can't be gay.
Exactly.
Right?
Honestly, you had sex.
Yeah, exactly. And I think this is what makes it so confusing. One of the things I wanted to address tonight, because I've had a number of women, more so in the last month or two, you know, I kind of go in runs of different problems. It's really interesting. Like, I've had a lot of men coming to me in the last couple of months, where normally I don't get as many, but I've had some days more men coming to me than women.
Mm-hmm.
I've had people from different cultures and countries and religions coming to me, you know, like now all of a sudden more so. So, but this is another problem that I've been facing a lot in the last couple of months, of women who feel very beaten down and defeated because of the fact they know their husbands are gay. You know, they found the porno, they found the letters, they found the texts, they found the emails, and their husbands, of course, are gay-lighting them, you know, which is like gaslighting them, but for gay men, gay-lighting, as I call it, and telling them that, you know, they're crazy, they're imagining it. They're using the most ridiculous excuses, or that's not mine on the phone. It must be our sons or our daughters looking at it. You know, they'd sooner blame their children than take responsibility for what they're doing. And I just, you know, women are just so much in doubt of themselves. And, right? You know, now when you confronted your ex, did he tell you you're crazy?
Did he tell me that I was wrong? That he really loved our son, and that he had tried all he could. He had tried to get Viagra, that he had a debilitating disease, and how could I walk away from him? If he could do differently, he would. And, God, it was awful. It was awful. It was awful. He clung to our son and said, don't break up our home. Don't break up our family. I mean, it was awful. It was awful.
And a lot of these men manipulate their kids. You know, I have one woman this week, and I feel so sad. You know, she says, you know, she split up with her husband, she caught him with men and this, and then he goes and tells the kid, I didn't want to leave. You tell your mommy, why does she want to break up our family? You know, it's because he can't be honest, you know, or he'll say, well, I don't have to be like that, but you're not even giving me another chance. They just like to confuse you, but the main thing that I'm going to say, and I know, hope people don't take it wrong, because I definitely separate gay people from gay husbands. You know, it's a totally different phenomena here. Authenticate people don't feel this need to lie and to have to deceive people. Our gay husbands, you know, about 20% or 20% of the gay population, they are like that. But I do say to women about their husbands, they lie. There's no two ways around it. They all lie. Now, sometimes I can say they're first lying to themselves, so it's really easy to lie to you. You know, they're not going to be honest with themselves. Why would you think they would tell you the truth? But they all lie. Wouldn't you say that's true?
Yeah, I would. I would, because even with me marrying my ex two times, I even with me not being as knowledgeable as I am now, thanks to your show and all that, even back then I was thinking to myself, okay, the first time we got married, I'll give you that. Neither one of us may have understood all this. You might have been having feelings you didn't understand. You might have been trying so hard to do the right thing. You know, there might have been some naivete and ignorance on both our part the first time.
Uh-huh.
But the second time around, you knew exactly what you were doing. And I think that's what made the second time harder for me to forgive.
Uh-huh.
Because I'm like, you knew what you were doing the second time. And you were willing to put me and your son through this, knowing, being even more aware of who you are, your sexual preference, and everything. All you did was concoct a different scheme because you were still determined to have us on your terms. You just came at us differently this time. You just went
and
back in your laboratory.
How did he respond to that?
He told me I was wrong. He has never admitted to any of it. He always has a ready excuse or a ready, what you call it, gay lighting? Gaslighting?
Gay lighting for them.
He always had a ready gay light. Never. To this day, he has not admitted to being gay. To this day, he will admit to having been down low, but he will not admit to being gay.
And that's another
thing.
There's no difference between it except the labeling for themselves. And I have women who tell me, well, my husband says, you know, all he had was oral sex. That doesn't make it cheating. Now, can you imagine that? That these men in their own heads are so compartmentalized that they can actually justify if it's oral sex, they weren't doing anything that was gay. Because all men, you know, like oral sex. So what's the difference if it's a man or a woman? And I mean, in their minds, they honestly believe this. You know, or they'll say, well, I wasn't doing it, I was just getting it. And what's the difference?
Exactly.
If it was a man or a woman. Right?
Yeah, they'll take a truth and pervert it. You know, they'll take something that everybody knows. Men love sex. They'll take something like that. Or they'll take, well, you know, to us sex isn't emotional. You know, to us sex is a drive. They'll take something that is a truth and they'll use it to gaylight you. They'll use it and they'll pervert the truth. That's what makes me grind my teeth to powder. It's the deception of it. It is the deception. The conscious deception, links of deception, and they're willing to throw you under the bus and tell you they love you.
Right, and I think that's where women get confused. Let's take the word love, okay, because there's all kinds of love. And I don't think there are any women, I shouldn't say that. I would say 97% of women who marry gay men, their husbands are going to tell you that they love you.
Yeah.
And they might love you in their own way, but it's not the way that a man loves a woman.
Exactly.
It doesn't have intimacy. It doesn't have passion. And you can have sex with somebody. Somebody can just, you know, stick it in there for you. That's not what I call sex. That's called satisfying a need, like you were saying. But it's not the passion. It's not the intimacy. It's not what makes a marriage. And yet women get so confused by this. They think that if they're doing that, then they must be mistaken. Their husbands aren't gay. Your husbands are gay. I mean, I do talk to men who tell me they make it a practice to be the best lovers that they can ever be to fool their wives, and they do.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, just, and then the women say, well, you know, maybe it's a bisexual thing. Does it really matter? You know,
it always comes down to, does it really matter?
Do you want to be with a guy who's bisexual, meaning that he's willing to put his penis in somebody else's places? That's a guy.
Yeah.
I mean, does that make you feel any better? Because, you know, he's still living with you, even though he's having sex with a guy or lusting after a man. I mean, I still call that gay. I call everything gay now. You know, I'm really tired of people telling me asexual, bisexual, you know, non-sexual, confused sexual, you know, metrosexual, dimensional sexual. It's all called to me gay. You know, once you cross that penis line, it's gay. You know, I don't care if it has breasts. I don't care what it is. If it has a penis, it's a man, right?
Yeah, it's gay.
It's gay,
gay,
no matter how you
want
to look at it.
No matter how you want to look at it, if you want to have sex with a man, it's all, to me, it's almost like people used to say back in the day, if you have, what was it, if you were 10% black, you were completely black. You know, for those that said, you know, that, well, I only have 10% because my daddy was white, or I only have a certain percent because through the generations, you know, I only had my great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-granddaddy was white and all the rest of my granddaddies were black. Back in the day, they said even if you had a tenth of a drop of black blood in you, you were black.
Right.
So why is it that that could be the case for my hue, but then you want to be have different levels and conditions to being gay? Well,
right.
I only get off on looking at gay porn. I find it entertaining, but because I haven't actually done it and I don't hang around gay bars, I'm not gay. Well, there's still a part of you that's intrigued with it that gets off on it.
Right. You're not looking at it because you look like you're looking at different T-shirts to order. If you're looking at a penis, you're looking at it because it arouses you.
Exactly.
Now, I do know men who get aroused by looking at the gay porno and then go have sex with their wives because they tell me it's the only way they can have sex with her. They have to first get aroused by gay porno. So if women are willing to settle for so little, you know, that they know that their husbands are getting aroused by gay porno and then having sex with them and still thinking they're not gay, then they're more delusional than their husbands are. You know, these husbands are in the closet and they want to keep you in there with them. They don't want you to escape. You know, they don't want you getting out there and telling people. I remember with my ex-husband, you know, he used to say to me, you know, when we were married, when I told him I wanted to go for help, you know, for counseling. And this is back in the days before there were computers. There was nothing about this anywhere. I mean, I knew I had a problem. And I said to him, well, we really need to go for marriage counseling. He said, well, if we go for marriage counseling, you cannot bring up this, you know, thought in your head with the guys. So, you know, like, okay, so what is the counselor going to be counseling us about if we can't bring this issue up? You know, but he said, well, if you tell anybody, you know, I'm leaving and you'll never see me again. You know, so I was always under that threat. So naturally, you know, I didn't tell anybody. But, you know, they make you, you know, go into the closet with them just because they don't want anybody to know. They don't want you telling anybody because people will tell you the truth.
Exactly.
And you don't have to care. How about these guys? Now, did your ex-husband ever get married again?
Uh-uh.
Do you know if he dated again?
He told me if things didn't work out with him and I, he wasn't going to get married again. And when I looked at him like, is it that distasteful? Is it that awful? He said, because I don't think I'm going to ever love another woman the way I love you, you know. And then you say, oh, okay. But,
well, look at the women you're saving out there.
The real one.
Suzette, you're saving so many women out there who could have been married to your gay husband. Thankfully, he loved you enough not to ever want to be married again. But a lot of women don't have that fortune because they're married to what I call those straight gay men, that no matter what you do, you know, they're always going to be straight. And they're going to prove it to you by getting married over and over again.
Yeah.
And that's what's so confusing for our women.
Yeah, and it's especially dangerous, especially because there are some people in spiritual authority figures that are gay. And let's say their wives leave them for it, and they tell people that's what it is. They feel compelled to get married again because they feel like they have a lot to lose. Their churches, it's almost like to save face, they will marry another unsuspecting woman just so they can fool their parishioners and continue to be regarded as the spiritual authority for these people. And it's really, really very sad. And you know what I was thinking? If we can go back just a little bit to what you were saying about how women, you know, stay with gay men and that kind of thing. One of the things that came to my mind when you were talking about it was part of the reason I think I was able to stay, part of my ignorance also was I had not been with a man that really made love to me. I had been with, you know, men that were opportunists. I had been with immaturity. I had been with men that weren't really that great in the bedroom. I had been with straight men that were still awkward, you know, because sometimes even if a straight man was from the church, he was awkward sexually because he felt so guilty after he did it with you that he made you feel bad. You know, so I had not had a really healthy, meaningful sexual experience. So now that I've had one with a man that loves me, now I can look back and I can in my body, I know the difference in how I felt when I was having sex with a gay man or an immature man versus a man who really loves me. But if you've never had that experience, you don't have anything to compare it to. So it's easy for that person to gay-light you, to make you feel like the sex that they're giving you is the way it really is. But then when you have sex with somebody for real, then you realize that what they were giving you was not right. You know what I'm saying?
Well, you know, it's funny because, like, when I first met my gay husband and we did have sexual relations, you know, it was off. I mean, I knew it wasn't satisfying to me. And when I would tell him, he'd get very, you know, very defensive. What do you mean? You know, every woman I've ever been with tells me that, you know, she's satisfied. Well, of course, he never told me until many years later that he was never with another woman. You know, so, you know, he was doing the best he could do under those circumstances. But I feel so, my heart goes out to women who spend 20, 30 years with a man, and when they first come to me for counseling, and I say to them, how's your sex life? And they say, well, it's okay. You know, it's been okay. They don't know what okay means. They just know that somebody there has had sex with them and that makes it okay, and it's not okay.
Yeah,
but I do
want to
just mention.
There's a disconnect. I say, because there's
exactly.
a disconnect. Even if that person
totally.
Can't perform, you never feel that connected intimacy, that passion, that thing that you experience with somebody that really loves you.
Because a straight man really wants sex. And
that's
he's going to do whatever he can to get it from you.
Yeah, and that's his way of being intimate, too. And so there's a different energy and a different feeling.
Totally. Like, you know, with my boyfriend, my boyfriend would always say to me in the beginning, you know, when we were first together for the first few years, you know, and I would say how great our sex life is. And, you know, that was many years ago. Still great. But back then he would say to me, well, that's how I express my love for you. And in his way, because he loved me. Making love to me was a pleasure to him. And making sure I was satisfied was a priority to him.
Yes.
And me feeling that he's satisfied was my priority. So that's a workable relationship. But when it's one-sided and it's not your side, you know, then that's not the answer. But I do want to just read this segment that I wrote, you know, I had in one of my newsletters that I'd like women to listen to be reminded again about the men who are straight gay men.
Mm-hmm.
And I wrote this back, you know, it's over 10 years ago, but I repeated it in 2012. But I wrote, I have coined a new term for another classification of gay husbands. It's straight gay husbands. I hope you like it. It's my new reference to gay men who are permanently living the straight life, sort of like wolves in sheep's clothing. They're the husbands who will not acknowledge their homosexuality privately or publicly ever. Some of them know that you know, but try to confuse you enough to put you in doubt in your mind to make you think that you're crazy.
Yeah.
It's the best defense to your offensive questions. These are the men that shut you up or shut you down the moment you think you're about making mention of the possibility of homosexuality. They know what they are, and they know what you suspect, but keep your mouth shut because they don't want to hear about it, especially from you. These men are different than gay husbands that admit they are gay bisexual, but promise not to act on those needs while they remain married to you, like we really believe that story. They are also different than the gay husbands who are leading very secret lives and not leaving a trail of crumbs for you to follow. They are not even quite like the limbo men I have described who are caught in between two worlds. There is no way they are entering the gay world through the front or back door or even through the closet. They detest the gay world and what it stands for, which gives them an even greater reassurance, at least to themselves, that they are not gay. The straight gay men are the ones who have to remain in total control of their physical motions, lest someone should suspect they are not quite as straight as they claim. It's funny how many women tell me that their husband's physical appearances, gestures, and movements change once they come out. I can't even fathom how difficult it must be to have to go through life calculating every breath and every step you take. It's sort of like walking down a sidewalk and having to make sure you don't step on a crack or you'll break your mother's back, as the game used to say.
Yeah.
My balance and coordination never let me win that game. These husbands are quick to use you and the children as their proof that they are not gay to the outside world, just in case they let their guard down and anyone might accuse them of the unthinkable. They honestly don't identify as gay, even though they have sex with men. They don't get themselves involved emotionally with men, just sexually. That helps them justify the fact that they are straight, not gay. Some women can't understand this. If you look like a duck, walk like a duck, act like a duck, but have sex with a goose, are you still a duck or are you a goose? I say you're a goose. I don't care what you act like to the outside world. I only look at who satisfies you sexually. And if you're a duck making love to a goose, your feathers have to ruffle in a different direction when you stand up and straighten them out. But this does make things that much more confusing and complicated. So to simplify your confusion, let me say this. Straight men don't have gay sex. You can call it whatever makes you feel better, but I call it gay all the way. Women who live with straight gay men and limbo men are often the most commonly emotionally abused women. They would have to be. Their husbands are truly living in a complex world that makes little or any sense. They are living unfulfilled lives because they don't have any emotional connections. They don't connect emotionally with their wives because they aren't really straight. They don't connect emotionally with men because they refuse to be gay. And so they function, but they don't connect. This lack of emotional connection creates a sense of insensitivity when it comes to your feelings and emotions. It also closes them up as human beings. They are unable to connect with a wife because they are living an internal and what seems like an eternal lie. This lie keeps overtaking any sense of good feelings towards the person they believe is responsible for the state of living, namely you. Now, we know it's ridiculous to think that you should be the reason for living this lie, but subconsciously, that's how they feel. As much as they love to have you as their cover, and as much as they hate to have you sharing under their covers, They resent you nagging, your nagging demands for sexual intimacy because it isn't their thing. It's your thing. And why do you have to try to make them feel inadequate just because they are? Even when you stop asking for it, you're still thinking about it, and they can tell. It means they have to come up with a continuous string of stories to account for their lack of sexual behavior with you. That puts pressure on these guys who feel you are being unreasonable. Why do you have to make such a big deal out of sex? They feel that in all other ways they are ideal husbands. They are the raising the family with you. They are helping you to support your financial needs, or at least sharing them in some, in sharing in them. They are taking part in the social activities that you have decided are important. They are doing lots for you. And how do you show your appreciation? By badgering them with little innuendos and questioning looks. This really shows a lack of appreciation on your part, and so they get pissed. The straight gay men think they are supermen, and to a degree they are. They juggle, manipulate, calculate, and carefully plan out all of their actions. It takes a lot of energy to do this, and they marvel at their ability to pull it off. It gives them an air of smugness that shows in their personality. I'm not quite sure what they think they're pulling off, because they know that you are doubtful of their explanations. There are only so many headaches, backaches, depressions, and side effects from medications that you can keep relying on. But they feel confident that if they use these excuses enough, you'll give up. Most women do. As I've said before numerous times, no woman wants to feel like she has to beg her husband to make love to her. It's degrading and demeaning. We get the hint after enough sexual rejection and stop asking. But it doesn't mean that we stop thinking and wanting. Every time we see other couples holding and caressing lovingly together, this is a reminder. It's a reminder of what we thought we should have but never were able to achieve. It's a reminder of what our hopes and dreams were for married life when we took that life-altering step and said, I do. We are momentarily reminded of what marriage was supposed to be but never became. And this sadness shows in our faces, our eyes, and in our hearts. When our husbands glimpse at us, we know what they are thinking. They know what we are thinking. They know what we are wishing. They know that the words they don't want to hear may possibly be coming out of our mouths at any moment. Rather than take a chance and have to come up with one more excuse, they find some way to knock us down and put us back on the non-assertive mental state that they so easily know how to do. We are women who have been conditioned. Remember, straight gay men remain in the marriages indefinitely and have years to erode your sense of self-worth. They are not going anywhere, and they want to make sure that you feel inadequate enough so that you want to go anywhere, that you won't want to go anywhere either. I don't know who could have taught these men about the facts of life and marriage, but obviously they weren't listening or didn't have a teacher. Did anyone ever tell them that sex is part of marriage? Did they ever hear that intimacy grows from making love to the person who loves you? Do they really believe they can sit for years in a marriage and overlook that little detail? Yes, they do. And we become their silent partners because we have been silenced on the issue of sex. The irony is that even if you leave these men, as some women do, they will remarry again. Yes, they will remarry another woman. They will still do their occasional gay sex thing to satisfy their sexual needs, but that goes with the territory. It's amazing to me how these men can live such a delusional existence until the day they die, and they will drag other women into their web of deceit. The next victim, and men who do this more than once are victimizers, will fall for it just like you did, but even better. Your straight gay husband has a track record. He will still use you as his shield by telling his next conquest that he was married before. Ergo, he is straight. And the woman who is the subsequent marriage with this man has no reason to question his sexuality at all. He's married before, he's marrying again. Chances are his next wife will even feel more inadequate than you feel. He'll make sure to tell her that the two of you never had problems in the bedroom before. And if she does meet you, she'll be too embarrassed to ask you the truth, and you'll probably keep protecting him. So if you are in a long-term marriage to a straight gay man, don't plan on things ever getting better. There may be temporary second honeymoon periods only to prove to you once again that you are crazy for even suspecting there's something wrong with your Wonder Man. but it's guaranteed that things will resort back to normal patterns of digs, harsh words, and put-downs. Count on it. Then decide if this is the most that you want out of life, because as long as you're in this marriage, this is all you can expect. I think that's really a great piece of writing, if I say so myself.
Yes, you hit the nail right on the head, Bonnie.
Didn't I?
That was excellently written. I mean,
I have to really send this to every woman, post this up so they can see it. But isn't that the truth?
Was the way I felt. Exactly what you were reading was almost as if you were a fly on the wall in my mouth.
I mean, that's the way we all feel. And it's like these guys all get together, and they know how to do this to us.
Yeah, because he would only have sex or use the illusion that we were going to have sex, because he wanted to be able to gaslight me so he could go out and I wouldn't complain.
Right. That's how mine did it, too.
That was the only reason. When I realized, oh, wait a minute, it isn't that you miss my body. It isn't that you find me sexy, though that's what you say. The reason you're paying attention to me is because you just got a call from him. And you know the only way I'm not going to throw a fit about you going out is if you do something very nice to me. So either you're going to kiss me tenderly, or you're going to pat my bottom, or you're going to do something affectionate or sexual, and I'm going to be so glad that you touched me and not want that to end, that I'm going to pretty much say yes to whatever it is you want. And you're counting.
Exactly.
Exactly.
They sexually manipulate you so they can get what they want.
Mm-hmm. Dangling a piece of meat to a hungry dog. That's it. And you don't even have to really give them the meat. Just dangle it.
Mm-hmm.
And tell them that you're going to. Because
mm-hmm.
I remember times when you would go away, so to speak, or have a date night or whatever to kind of help our marriage, because it was under a lot of stress and under strain. He would posture himself as if he cared. But there was still that disconnect. There was still this emptiness to everything we did. It was still Or even if we had a great, passionate night of lovemaking, when I would look back at it, no, I was the one that was having the passionate night. He was just performing so he could shut me up and get maybe another year of peace of not having to touch me. You know what I'm saying? And so we get really confused because we think, oh, maybe I was wrong because, oh, he warmed up to me today. Oh, maybe I was wrong because, oh, my God, the sex was so good, girl. It was so good. I could lick my fingers and toes. But the issue was it wasn't as good for him as it was for you, else he'd want to do it again. Obviously, it wasn't as good for him because it's like, okay, I did it. Now leave me alone.
Right, and it gives them a long, and then it gives them a long period, like, you know how we keep planning on how we're going to have sex with our husbands. They keep planning on how they don't have to have sex with us. So
exactly.
It's almost like they pay their dues. They say, okay, let me just get it over with. So then for the next 2 months, she can't say anything. Or for the next 3 months, she can't say anything because we did it. So I don't want to have to hear her say we don't have sex, right?
Right, or I can say then after I've done it with you and you want it again the next day, then I can say
you're a nymphomaniac.
You know, yes, or the average married couple. Here we come with the fast facts again.
Mm-hmm.
The average married couple only has sex so many times a week. So you can't say I'm gay just because we had it last night and I don't want to have it with you again this morning.
Uh-huh.
You know what I'm saying? It just gets really, and then you think to yourself, well, yeah, I guess he's right. But the issue isn't that he's right. It was deceptive. He only dangled that in front of you so he could get out of it.
Exactly. And that's how they manipulate you. And then you stop wanting to say anything because you just feel that, you know, what's the point? Something must be something wrong with me rather than to think that there's something wrong with him. And then you feel bad to stop, you know, on top of it all because there's something you're not doing as a woman to make him happy.
Exactly.
You know, because he was a normal man until he married you. You know, it's like I said, my ex-husband told somebody today, you know, we were discussing this with someone, you know, because he was still covering up and still not coming out to everybody. You know, publicly he wanted to have that straight, you know, straight image, even though he, you know, is behind the scenes doing everything as this gay person. But he met this woman because he needed a cover for his reputation. And when he met her, he said to her, well, he was straight when he married me, but I made him bisexual.
Wow.
And, you know, she was very naive. She didn't know much about this, you know, so
yeah.
She really believed it was true. And I thought, wow, I am powerful. People believe I could do this. You know, it's just, like, amazing. But, you know, once again, you're up against people who are professional liars, who professionally can, you know, sit and lie about who they are and make you look like you're the one who's at fault for them being the way they are.
You know,
well, I was a normal man until I met you, right?
Yeah, I don't, you know, I wonder if the issue is that they're professional liars and they're that good at it, or just simply they have found women or in a community or an environment where people just don't know about it. Because now, with what we know now, if they were to run that same game, would it work?
Uh-huh.
It wouldn't. Not with what we know now. It wouldn't work. So I think their power is our naivete. It isn't that they're great a liar. They ain't that good at it. They're not that good at it because you get one of your...
Because you know they're lying, right?
Yeah,
you may not be able to
like,
catch them, but you know they're lying, so they can't be that good.
Exactly, because even one of the things, it was so funny because when I was describing my situation in the aftermath, and I started going out again, and I met some single girlfriends who weren't sleeping around. They weren't sluts, but they were open. They had dated. They had relationships with men, and they weren't in these situations that kept them ignorant. But I just described it. They said, "Oh yeah, girl, he was gay. Oh my God, even Stevie Wonder could see that." And I'm like, really? They're like, no, he wasn't that good. Oh, my God, girl. Yeah. So I think it's not so much that they're that good at it. They've just gotten around people that don't know about it. And
well,
if
they were that good
at
it, you know, somebody wouldn't be suspecting them. There's always somebody who sees it and tells you afterwards, well, I always thought so, but I didn't want to say anything. You know what?
Exactly.
People don't think so for no reason at all.
It's
like when women contact me and they say, well, I'm not sure if my husband's gay. Okay, well, guess what? Women who have straight husbands do not get in touch with me. The only people who get in touch with me are people who think their husbands are gay, not people who think their husbands are straight because they get in touch with Dear Abby. I get the women who think their husbands are gay. You know, if you have a husband problem, call Dear Abby. If you have a gay husband problem, call Bonnie Kay. So the women who come to me, they're thinking that their husbands are gay. That's why they're coming to me. And I tell women, like you say, you have to trust your instincts. They're not going to lead you wrong. Women with straight husbands have never come to me and say, I think my husband's gay, but he's really straight. No, he's not straight. If you think he's gay, you have an instinct you have to follow. Because something's telling you something's off in your marriage, right?
That's right. Because even my girlfriends that had straight husbands, even if they were part of the normal average of people, how many times they have sex, they might have only had sex 2 times out of the month. And let's say when they were dating, they were having it almost every night.
Uh-huh.
They never say, wow, we're only having sex 2 times out of the month. Oh, my God, I wonder if my husband's gay. Even though it's changed, they never think to themselves, wow. Because
right, exactly.
From being involved with a man now that's straight is, even though we might not have it every single night.
Right. You don't have to have sex every single night to have a straight husband.
You
so
sure
that's
don't.
The first fallacy. You know, if
exactly.
you have sex every month with your husband, but it's great sex, if he has other issues, other things are coming in the way, but he wants you in the between, he's touching you, he's lusting after you.
That's
know,
it. He's
a gay husband's not going to go lusting after you, want to touch you in places that, you know, they're staying
yeah.
away from there, right?
That's right, and that's the thing. It's like all in between, you're getting that you know, that up and down look a man can give you when he really thinks he could just jump you at any moment.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
You know, that little stiff eye. It's like even if he's sick, my God, if he just wants you to sit by him so he can just lay his head on you. I mean, it's all these different things. And I think what it is you know that you are welcomed in that person's sexual space. Even
mm-hmm.
if you're not having intercourse, you are still welcome in that sexual energy.
Mm-hmm.
You're welcome all the time. So whether you're actually having intercourse or not, it's not even an issue. You're in that sexual energy, so you know intercourse is going to come. You can set your clock by it.
Right. You know, it's like, if I was with my boyfriend and I would say something, oh, I want to, let's fool around, he wouldn't say, well, I'm not interested in doing that, thank you. I mean, he would say, great. And even if he didn't feel like doing it, he would say great, because it feels great no matter what he feels like. And that's what a straight man's about. A straight man, I feel so bad for women who have never been with a straight man, so they don't know what it's about because they've spent 20, 30, 40 years with one man who's gay. Or for women who didn't have, you know, maybe limited sexual experiences before, and they're so confused because their gay husband is trying to convince them that they're crazy by gaylighting them. So that they're confused and they're not sure. You know, to me, it's very cut and dry. It's very black and white. I don't have any shades of gray here. You know, I'm not saying that it's impossible. I just don't deal with those shades of gray. Like I always
yeah.
say, the penis is the dividing line, and once you cross that line, you're over it. Whether you're thinking about it, fantasizing about it, looking at porno pictures, dressing it up like a woman, do whatever you want to it, but the fact remains, if that's what you're thinking about, that's what you are.
Yeah.
Because straight men don't think about penises. Except
no,
their own.
They don't. They
right?
really don't, except for their own.
I mean, my boyfriend's very non-homophobic. He's very open and he's very liberal, but don't talk to him about penis. He doesn't want to know about it.
Mm-mm. And even with his voice, wait a minute, don't hug me too long. Wait a minute, hold up. There's even a boundary in how I approach you.
Uh-huh.
So don't get too happy. Don't lean in too much. And don't be touching me and I don't know you.
Exactly. And then they say, well, because I'm non-emotional. I was abused when I was younger. We didn't come from a close family. We don't relate that way. I don't care. A straight man still wants you.
He sure does.
Now, he may not
I mean,
be affectionate, but he still wants you in the bedroom.
We can be looking at a movie that may not even have people having intercourse, but there's this suggestion of sexual tension.
Mm-hmm.
And that energy follows us into the bedroom.
Exactly.
And
that's
never,
how straight men
I
are.
I never knew that with my gay husband. The energy never followed us anywhere.
Well, there's a reason for that. First of all, when you were watching those movies with your husband, he was watching the man and following him into the bedroom, not you.
Wow.
You know, that's why when women tell me, well, my husband only watches straight porn, I have had gay men tell me they only watch straight porn. You know, and I know it throws women off, and I feel so bad about that because some men, when they're watching straight porn, they're visualizing themselves as a woman with a man. and therefore they prefer watching the straight porn. So you can't let all these little...
Tonight, Bonnie, you are teaching me something tonight. I did not know that.
I was quite shocked when I found out about 7-8 years ago from a gay man who said to me, I'll be honest with you, and then I've had about 3 other ones tell me I only watch straight porn. So naturally that throws their wives off because they're not watching gay porn, but they're fantasizing about the man while, you know, they're watching the porn.
Wow.
So never let that be, you know, your guide on somebody's straight or not. Naturally, finding gay porn will be definitely a guide because straight men will not watch gay porn. But gay men can watch straight porn and still get excited by the men in there.
Wow. Wow.
You live and you learn, right?
You sure do. This is the second aha moment that I've had. Because the other one was when we were talking about the odor that a woman puts off when she's aroused, that a gay man is turned off by it. It stinks to him. Girl, I was just like, a light bulb. I was like, really?
Yes, and in fact, the most degrading thing a gay man can say about a woman, because I hear them say it, you know, they call women fish. Because what smells like steak to a straight man will smell like dead fish to a gay man. You know, that's their sense of smell. And that's okay. That's why they're gay. I mean, you know, I wouldn't expect another woman to smell good to me. So, you know, I can understand where they're coming from. But it's so degrading when they say, oh, fish, you know, like they do it, like, with the contempt. You know, it's very degrading.
They do say it.
Mm-hmm. And it's a degrading way of what they call women.
Wow.
Very scary, right? Well, we've had some really heavy-duty conversation tonight.
Yes, we have.
Right?
Yes, we have, Bonnie.
I know. I always feel good when I can talk to you and vent out everything.
Yeah.
I know. You're my sounding board. And I just want to remind people that, you know, and I don't mean to embarrass you, Suzette, but actually I was talking with somebody last week. I won't mention whom, but a wonderful woman who had gone to you for coaching and felt that it helped her so much. You know, she was unable to continue because of personal circumstances, but she had started with you and gone through some sessions, and she said she felt so much better when she was working with you because you are inspirational. You can direct people into a direction they need help with. You know, women who are stuck in their lives, you can help them move forward. You are not a therapist where they have to bring back their memories from 30, 40 years ago. You deal with the here and the now and how to get past it because you are a certified coach. And I think it's just amazing the work you do and the books that you wrote. You know, your last book is the best book of all about your emotional G-spot. And let's just tell women where they can get to your website. Give them that hard-to-remember website.
It's not hard, Bon K.
It is hard.
It's SuzetteRHinton.com.
Why do you have to have the R in there?
I know, you said that the last time, too.
They're not going to remember the R, Suzette. They're going to remember Suzette Hinton. That's hard enough. But first they have to learn how to spell Suzette. So you'll just have to go to my gayhusbands.com website and go to under, you know, resources, and you'll find Suzette's website there. Or you can just write to me at bonk@aol.com, and I'll be happy to send you a link to her website or, you know, get you in touch with her. But coaching will make a difference in your life. If you're kind of at a stuck place, you can unstick yourself. Is it unstick from stuck? If you're stuck, you can get unstuck, maybe.
Stuck.
Unstuck and move ahead, and that's what this is all about. Suzette, thank you so much for always making me feel uplifted.
Thank you so much for just giving me an opportunity to help. I look forward to it.
You're the best.
Thank you so much.
All right, well, you know I love you. Tell Robert thank you for sharing you with me and our thousands of women. We thank Robert for inspiring you more now than ever. And we'll talk to you next month as we enter September. I can't believe the summer will be over when I'm, you know, just about over when we talk again.
I know.
So I would tell you, try to keep cool, but where you live, I know you're not going to, so it doesn't really matter.
True.
It's hot,
true.
Right? Yeah.
Well, we've had a couple of cool days, but I hear it's going to go right back up into the 90s, almost triple digits, so...
I know,
it's
really disgusting. I can't stand the summer. But then the winter's horrible, too, so we'll wait for fall and enjoy the few weeks of fall weather we have.
Yes,
right.
I love
Well, I just want to thank you so much again, and I'll leave us with one of my favorite songs, Blackbird, a song of inspiration to our women by the Beatles. Good night to all. Love to you all, and love to you, Suzette.
Love to you too, buddy. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Blackbird singing in the dead of night. Take these broken wings and learn to fly all your life. You were only waiting for this moment to arise. Blackbird singing in the dead of night. Take these sunken eyes and learn to see all your life. You are only waiting for this moment to be free. Blackbird fly, blackbird fly, into the line of a dark black night. Blackbird fly, blackbird fly, into the light of a dark black night. For this moment to arise.